The air inside the small bookstore in South Salt Lake always smelled of aged paper and vanilla, a comforting scent that usually signaled a day of quiet commerce and community. On that cold November afternoon in 2010, the silence was different. It was heavy and absolute. When the door swung open, the bell didn't just chime. It seemed to slice through a stillness that had settled over the aisles of B&W billiards and books like a shroud. I remember the way the light from the street filtered through the front window, illuminating dust motes that danced over a scene that defied the peaceful reputation of the neighborhood. There was no sign of a struggle at the entrance, no shattered glass or overturned displays to warn of the violence that had occurred just feet away. The shelves remained perfectly aligned, their spines standing like silent witnesses to an act that had been swift and brutal. I walked deeper into the shop, my boots muffled by the thin carpet, until the copper tang of blood overcame the familiar smell of old books. There, in the back of the store she loved, lay the body of a woman who had spent her life fostering a sanctuary for readers. The local community knew her as a kind soul and a dedicated grandmother, but in that moment, she was the center of a forensic nightmare. The scene was chaotic in its stillness, a stark contrast to the orderly life she had led. It was here, amidst the quiet stacks of literature, that the life of Sherry Black came to a violent and inexplicable end. The initial response to the crime scene required a meticulous reconstruction of the hours leading up to the discovery. Sherry had been alone in the shop on November 30th, 2010. While her husband was away, there were no witnesses to the entry of the assailant and no immediate reports of suspicious individuals loitering in the area. Our processing of the scene revealed that the attack was focused and high intensity, involving multiple sharp force injuries that suggested a personal or highly motivated level of violence. Despite the brutality of the crime, very little was taken from the shop, which complicated the search for a motive. We looked into the possibility of a robbery gone wrong, but the victim's jewelry remained on her person, and the cash register was not the primary focus of the intruder. Every person who had visited the shop that day was cataloged, and their movements were traced through local surveillance footage and cell tower pings. We interviewed dozens of regular customers, neighboring business owners, and family members to build a profile of the victim's daily routine. Sherry was a woman of habit, and nothing in her history suggested she had enemies or was involved in any high-risk activities. The investigation quickly expanded to include a wider perimeter, searching for discarded weapons or clothing in nearby dumpsters and alleyways. We utilized bloodstain pattern analysis to determine the sequence of events within the back room, confirming that the struggle was localized. For months, the lead investigators followed every tip that came through the hotline, but the trail began to grow cold as the physical evidence failed to produce an immediate match in existing databases. The pressure from the Salt Lake City community was immense, as the randomness of the attack created a sense of pervasive fear. The most critical piece of evidence recovered from the bookstore was a small amount of foreign DNA and a distinct article of clothing left behind by the perpetrator. A men's Armani Exchange trench coat, size medium, was found at the scene, which did not belong to anyone in the Black family. We also recovered a bloodstained shirt that yielded a DNA profile of an unknown male. This profile was immediately entered into the combined DNA index system, known as CODIS, with the hope of finding a match among convicted offenders. For nearly a decade, the system returned no hits, leaving the digital evidence dormant in our servers. The coat was a rare find, and we spent years tracking its retail history and distribution, hoping to find a purchaser who could be linked to the Salt Lake area. In 2017, the investigation took a technical turn as we began to explore the emerging field of investigative genetic genealogy. This process involved uploading the suspect's DNA profile to public access databases, where individuals voluntarily share their genetic information to find relatives. This was a departure from traditional forensic methods and required a highly specialized team of genealogists to build out extensive family trees. We were looking for third or fourth cousins, individuals who shared enough genetic material with our suspect to point us toward a specific family branch. The data was dense and required months of cross-referencing census records. birth certificates, and social media footprints. We spent hundreds of hours narrowing down the potential suspects from thousands of distant relatives to a single lineage based in another state. The breakthrough came when the genealogical data pointed toward a family with ties to Utah that had previously escaped our notice. The forensic evidence was no longer just a digital string of markers. It was a roadmap leading us to a specific individual who had been living under the radar for 10 years. In early 2020, the genealogical research identified Adam Antonio Carr as the primary person of interest in the murder of Sherry Black. Carr had been 20 years old at the time of the crime and had no significant criminal record that would have placed his DNA in the national database. I watched the surveillance teams monitor his movements as we sought a fresh DNA sample to confirm the match with the evidence from the bookstore. We eventually obtained a discarded item containing Carr's biological material, and the subsequent laboratory analysis confirmed a perfect match to the DNA found on the bloody shirt and the Armani coat. On October 2, 2020, we moved in to execute an arrest warrant at his residence. Carr was taken into custody without incident and charged with aggravated murder and aggravated burglary. During the legal proceedings, the prosecution presented the mountain of forensic evidence that linked him directly to the back room of B&W Billiards and Books. The defense initially raised questions regarding the methods used to obtain the DNA, but the court upheld the validity of the investigative genetic genealogy. In 2022, Carr entered a plea of narrow innocence, specifically a Bradley plea, which allowed him to acknowledge that the evidence was sufficient for a conviction without admitting to the specific intent of the crime. The court reviewed the autopsy reports and the forensic reconstruction of the attack, noting the extreme nature of the violence inflicted upon the victim. In April 2022, Adam Antonio Carr was sentenced to 20 years to life in the Utah State Prison. The judge noted that the resolution of the case was a testament to the persistence of the investigators and the advancement of forensic science. The legal finality of the sentencing provided a definitive end to the investigative file that had remained open for 12 years. Sherry Black's family was present for the final hearing, marking the close of a decade-long search for the individual who had walked into a quiet bookstore and changed the landscape of their lives forever.